Well, next to the continuing efforts to forge a viable peace plan for Ukraine, Donald Trump's envoy Steve Witkoff is to hold talks at the Kremlin next week. The US president says his initial plan has been, as he put it, fine-tuned, with additional input from both sides. Meanwhile, the president of the EU Commission has welcomed talks on a Ukraine peace deal led by Donald Trump, and she said Europe considers there's now a starting point on a plan after days of negotiations. Addressing MEPs in Strasbourg this morning, Ursula von der Leyen made clear that it was a red line for Europe that there can be no changing of borders.
So we need to be clear that there cannot be unilateral carving up of a sovereign European nation and that borders cannot be changed by force. If today we legitimize and formalize the undermining of borders, we open the doors for more wars tomorrow. And we cannot let this happen.
Dr. Jenny Mathers is a senior lecturer in international politics at Aberystwyth University, and she's been giving me her assessment of the current situation.
Well, I think what we've seen is a softening of the very hard line that the Trump administration initially put forward. And definitely, although we don't have the details yet, it seems from what the participants are saying that the terms of this 28-point peace deal that have been so objectionable to Ukraine, many of those have been sort of reduced or amended. Although we do also know from President Zelensky that two of the key issues, namely the question of territory and any sort of territorial changes made from Ukraine to Russia, and also security guarantees, have both been sort of put to one side to be dealt with in more detail at a higher level. But it does sound as though there are positive kind of sounds coming out of these negotiations, and certainly there's reason to believe that they're moving forward. Whether or not they will come up with something which is acceptable to both the Ukrainians and the Russians, of course, is another very big question. But at the moment, things seem to be moving in a more positive direction.
Another thing that has changed, though, is this deadline, which had been put on the talks by President Trump. He's no longer looking for a deal by tomorrow.
No, that's a big change of style, but also a big relief, I think, especially for the Ukrainians. So initially, when the information about this peace plan came out last week, the Trump administration was insisting that it was a take-it-or-leave-it arrangement, that the Ukrainians needed to sign up to this in order to bring peace, and they needed to do it quickly by tomorrow, which is Thanksgiving Day in America, which is a very important kind of symbolic holiday, and that there would be no negotiation. And in fact, the Trump administration sent the Secretary of the Army to Kyiv to brief the Ukrainians and also to brief European sort of ambassadors and diplomats to say, look, this is how it's going to be. There is no room for negotiation. It's take it or leave it. It has to be done now. And all of that language has changed now. Now it's being talked about as though, well, it's a plan for future arrangements. There's not a hard and fast deadline. There's room for negotiation. So the mood music has really changed over the past week.
And the main sticking points, do they remain pretty much the same as they've always been? As in, we're talking about who gets what territory, we're talking about security guarantees for Ukraine, and we're also talking about whether Ukraine should be allowed to join NATO.
Yeah, those are the big questions, basically, because Russia lately has been insisting that Ukraine should give up territory in the region of Donetsk, which Russia has not occupied. And which, you know, at the current rate of Russian military progress in that region, might take it years to occupy if it succeeds in achieving its goals. So Ukraine is supposed to just give this up without any objection. And of course, Ukrainians find that completely not acceptable. And then secondly, there's the question about what kinds of security guarantees Ukraine might be able to expect if the war does come to an end. What will ensure that the peace agreement, whatever it is actually adhered to by Russia? And further, what will ensure that Russia doesn't come back again at some point in the future and have another attack? And then thirdly, of course, and linked to the second point, is the question of Ukraine's relationship with NATO, because, you know, Russia's wish list is for Ukraine to remain neutral forever, not to have any allies, not to join NATO, but NATO should never allow Russia, Ukraine to join. And all of these things, I think, are very much, you know, what Russia would like to see. And of course, they are also not acceptable for Ukraine, which has been setting itself up to join NATO at some point in the future and has really been making a lot of effort to demonstrate that it shares NATO's values and it could be a good partner.
For several months now, there's been tension between the US and Europe on how to bring the war to an end. Where does that relationship stand now?
So I think what we're seeing at the moment is a real division within the Trump administration between the more hardliners, shall we say, who seem to be very much opposed to, you know, continuing a close relationship with Europe, and, you know, probably pushing the Trump administration to, in fact, or formally withdrawing basically from NATO. And then there's another faction which seems to be led by Secretary of State Marco Rubio, who seems to be more sort of interested in maintaining good relationships with Europe, can see the value of multilateral engagements and arrangements, can see the value of allies. So he seems to be, you know, on the softer side of the administration. So I think we're not really sure at this stage which one is going to become more influential at the moment. Rubio's faction, if you can think of it in those terms, seems to be leading because, you know, he's making progress in these negotiations and he seems to be very happy to work with the Europeans. But, you know, as with so many things with the Trump administration, we just can't count on continuity. There's no certainty here. He's very volatile. And so, you know, this is what we're seeing now. But next week or next month or next year, we might see something very different.